interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Have you ever wondered why the news plays the same five stories again and again? Let me give you a little hint. Brainwashing and repetition is the most basic form of brainwashing. Join me as we look at the news cycle and talk about why the mainstream media is so gutless and afraid to report the truth. Level fail. Good day and welcome to Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. I usually don't do dress rehearsals, but the past 20 minutes has been me talking to myself and it was pretty hilarious. So you're in for a rip-roaring show right now because I've already got this halfway under my belt. What's up, guys? I see you all in the chat. Thanks for bearing with me on my... I didn't press the stream button and, well, here we are. What's up, guys? All right, this is Conspiracy News, and this is the show where we talk about the conspiracy that is the news, okay? Including the 24-hour news cycle that has all of the weirdness that goes along with it, okay? All the contradictory information, all of the partisan BS, all of the stuff that we talk about all the time. And this show started with a podcast known as Troubled Minds. And if you don't know Troubled Minds, I know many of you do, but I realize we have people come and go, brand new people show up, random. So I have to explain myself. No, too much to explain. Let me sum up. Troubled Minds is a show about aliens, conspiracy, and the paranormal. We used to do a news segment on that show because there's just so much to talk about. And the news segment just grew larger and larger and larger, and then it became its own show. And that's this show. That's Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. Now, since I had a dress rehearsal, I know exactly what I'm about to say because I said it. I already said it. But now the weird thing about the news cycle and the conspiracy that is the news, in 1987, Ronald Reagan actually repealed something known as the Fairness Doctrine. And what that means is, back if anybody's old enough to remember back in the 80s, when they had any kind of, like any kind of news reporting, you couldn't have like a hyper partisan thing like they do on Fox or CNN. You just couldn't do it because there was a law in place to actually manage the media in such a way that you had to give equal time to the opposing side. So if you were, you know, imagine Don Lemon's show, halfway through the Don Lemon show, he had to stop and then give the next half of the show to Sean Hannity. You see what I'm saying? There would be a problem there, right? Like it doesn't exist today. And so that's what the Fairness Doctrine was back in 1987. Okay. Ronald Reagan actually repealed that, his administration. And now we get what we have today, which is just garbage news. It's fake news, basically. It's so hyper-partisan that they use every single thing they can to use as a political cudgel to make you hate your neighbor. And so this is the world we live in now. And as a result of that, we need to do shows like this, where we have independent people, independent, just non-partisans trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because it's all just a bunch of BS and lies. And that's really what this is about. So that's the show. And as always, it's important for me to note that this show is live. If you want to be part of the show, transparency is important. And you'll never be able to call into Don Lemon or Sean Hannity because they just have to. All propaganda all the time. Well, if you call in right now, we'll talk to you. Love to hear what you have to say about this or anything else that we talk about. You show feedback. You want to just say hello. Any of that stuff is fine. And the only reason we'll ever stop that is if it devolves into a conga line of people just calling to say hi. Okay, well, that's just less productive. So that's the only way we'll ever stop. Is what we'll do is we'll just like section it off the last half, something like that for calls and not the first half. You know what I mean? So it's fine. Anything you want to talk about, you can do that. I'm here for you. 702-957-1037. 702-957-1037. TroubledMinds.org is the official website. You can join the Discord. We have a live Discord running, and you can be part of the show that way as well. Just jump in the caller queue. Let me know in the chat you're there waiting to go, and we will go. All right. So with all that said, now that we got the dress rehearsal out of the way and the real thing, let's start with what we just talked about. That you guys didn't get to hear. But the good news is we had some issues that I solved. So anyway, here we go. Here we go. This is where we're going to start. CNBC reports this. Young people looking to spend almost half of their stimulus checks on stocks. The Deutsche survey finds that would be the Deutsche Bank, of course. And this is pretty good. Let's read just a little bit of this. A survey from Deutsche Bank has given an insight into how much cash from U.S. stimulus checks might find its way into the stock market. Responses to the survey of 430 retail investors showed that half of 25 to 34-year-olds plan to spend 50% of their stimulus payments on stocks, leading the German investment bank to state that, quote, a large amount of the upcoming U.S. stimulus checks will probably find their way into equities. How could that go wrong, right? We had a phone call coming in that is now dropped, but if you call back, we'll put you on the show. I saw it. I see it. I'm looking out for you. Give me a call and we'll put you on the show. All right. Let's see. All right. So this is a, now this is a little weird, right? Like, how could this go wrong? So we have a system that prints fiat currency. All right. That has gone off the gold standard for a very long time now. And we're going to print fake money, basically. We're going to pump it into the economy that's supposed to be a stimulus. Now, the way a stimulus is supposed to work, all right, is you get it and then you spend it on things. All right, you spend it on things, actual tangible things, like you pay rent with it, you buy food, you you know, whatever, you pay car payments, things like this. Like you're supposed to put this back into the economy, right, to kind of boost and bolster the economy. That's what a stimulus is. It's less about the individual, more about the economy itself. Okay, in a macro form, that's why they do it. All right, the illusion is, oh, this money is to take care of you, but we know better because it's been 1 year to flatten the curve when they told us 2 weeks to start. All right. So we know better. And so an entire year, it's the middle of March now, just about. And we had 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And here we are a year later. And they've given us not even yet, but a total, assuming what's coming. Remember the 600 that turned into 2000 that they ran on 2000 and then they got voted in. And now they're like, well, we didn't mean 2000. We meant 1400 plus your 600 equals 2000. Political math. Woo. That's what they did, right? But even if we get that money and then the previous stimulus, that's $3,600 in one calendar year. Now, if anybody out there can live on $3,600 in one calendar year, what's that math, by the way? $3,600 divided by 12 months. That seems like beans and rice, right? That seems like no rent. That seems like no car. That seems like no anything. There's not enough money. No, come on. So again, right? It's not about the individual. This is not about taking care of people. This is about propping up an economy. This money, all right? These stimulus. Now, the bizarre part about this is, how could this go wrong? If you take a phony ass Wall Street, all right, that's basically a gigantic manipulative structure, a manipulative phony algorithm that clearly favors the elite, then, which proven recently by the GameStop stuff, which we'll talk about in a little while here, but you have this big phony algorithm known as the stock market, all right? Then we print a bunch of phony shit, phony money, and then we give it to people, and then the fake thing called the stock market that just conjures money out of thin air, then we put more phony money into it, and then how could this go wrong? How could this go wrong? Is anybody, instead of the stimulus money being spent on tangible goods, it's being invested, all right? So there's going to be a huge chunk of money invested from the stimulus payments. Does anybody smell a crash on the way? Can anybody smell that? Can anybody smell the crash on the way? And this is exactly what they're doing, right? And this is where we are. This is the world we live in. And this is Conspiracy News. Looking to hear from you again. Going to put that phone number up in case you're trying to call. 702-957-1037. You can be part of the show at any time. Troubledminds.org. You have the phone number and the Discord link right there. And you can, do your thing. All right, let's go. Now check it out. Now, economics. It gets better. This gets better, doesn't it? All right, let's go to this. This is from Fortune.com. And this is the crazy part. I've been saying it. People that have been listening to the show, they know. A lot of the things I say come to pass. And to be fair, a lot of things I say also do not. However, this one, I said straight up, they're coming after Bitcoin. They're coming after crypto because it is a threat to their fiat currency printing scheme and the Federal Reserve. They're coming after it. It's a threat. All right. If you get a, let's say, Bitcoin just being a crypto, if you get a crypto that becomes so large and ubiquitous the world over that it challenges the US dollar, it stands to reason they're coming after it. And look at this. From Fortune.com, they're laying a trap. Everything to know about the new Bitcoin tax rules. Exactly like I've been saying. Oh, shit. There we go. See, that was a problem I had last stream, but I did use the Dwayne Dibley trick. What's up, Dwayne? I see you out there. And I got it. We're into it. All right. So this is, again, from Fortune.com. All right. Now check this out. The whole crypto arena was something of a financial wild west, with federal authorities scrambling to figure out how to treat it for tax purposes. Now, though, is a different story. In particular, you might notice a little question on this year's tax forms right under where you have to print your name and address. See that? Right under where you put your name and address, the first thing they want to know on your tax form this year is this. Quote, at any time during 2020, did you receive, sell, send, exchange, or otherwise acquire any financial interest in any virtual currency? Interesting, right? It almost seems like they're like, get audited automatically, check this box, right? That's pretty much what this is. Quote, says Losi, this guy that say he works for a tax planner in Richmond, Virginia. This guy says they're laying the trap. Then the hammer is going to come down. Cryptocurrency is treated as property. So in general terms, think of it like a stock. If you bought some and still own it, there has been no taxable event and you won't owe anything on the transaction. So for instance, let's say you've got some, you bought a bunch of Bitcoin and now you're like a Bitcoin millionaire. On paper, right? Well, you're not really a millionaire until you cash it out and that becomes liquid money, right? Money. Well, when that happens, I'll tell you what, they're coming to get you. They're coming to get you because nobody's allowed to become a millionaire in this country, damn it, without going through the political bribing system. You have to have your own political action committee. You have to have your own political action committee that's constantly greasing the palms of the individuals in Washington so they can create perfect loopholes just for you so you can get away with some BS. Well, most of us don't have political action committees or lobbyists or any of these things, so we're screwed, aren't we? So imagine if you became a Bitcoin millionaire and they slap a ridiculous crypto fee and then you're less well off, right? But the government, it just starts gobbling up the crypto. Anyway, I said it, it's happening. And this is the craziest part. How bad is this going to be? Okay. So now you look a little bit further, you dig a little bit deeper, and this is what you get. This is from Yahoo News. Yep. Check this out. Headline is this. IRS initiates Operation Hidden Treasure to root out unreported crypto income. Operation Hidden Treasure. Unreported crypto income. Yep. Yep. They're coming for it. They're coming for this, guys. And again, once they crack down on crypto in a major way, then what? What's left? Well, the same tired ass garbage system we've always had. It's not allowed. This is not allowed. This new world blockchain thing. It's not allowed. It's not allowed. And so they're going to crack down on it so hard and so fast. They did it in, what was that country? We talked about just recently on one of these news shows. They cracked down on banks from allowing any kind of crypto exchange at all. So let's see what happens. Let's see how fast and how hard and fast this goes. But here we go. Right from the article. The United States Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, appears to be stepping up its enforcement capabilities with a new program dedicated to cryptocurrency tax compliance. With Operation Hidden Treasure, the IRS will search for unreported crypto-related income, according to Director of the Office of Fraud Enhancement, Damon Rowe. Speaking at a Federal Bar Association virtual tax conference, Rowe said, cryptocurrency fraud will be a priority. Forbes first reported the news. Yeah. Operation Hidden Treasure, a joint effort between the IRS's Civil Office of Fraud Enforcement and its Criminal Investigation Unit, will train agents to look at blockchains to root out tax evasion among cryptocurrency users. It will exist as part of the office's emerging threats mitigation team, Forbes said. IRS employees are also reportedly training alongside the European Union Agency for Law Enforcement Cooperation, that would be Europol, as part of the initiative. I'm telling you, they are coming after this hard because it's a threat. And the I say this a lot, and it's true, a corrupt establishment has to move to protect itself, and in many ways by becoming more corrupt, right? They wield the judicial hammer of justice. And so they're able to say and do whatever the hell they like. And unfortunately, because you and me don't have political action committees and an entire lobby firm to lobby on behalf of our, you know, us little guys that might have made some money on this. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter, does it? Because they're going to take a huge chunk of your profits. And like I said, I called this and we'll see. So imagine, if this still becomes a problem, there are additional steps they can take. Just like there was some country in Africa, I forgot which one it was, that literally just stopped allowing banks at all to process Bitcoin transfers at all, And so we'll see. This is what's happening. Think about that. Operation Hidden Treasure. All the while, they've written this huge, grotesquely convoluted tax scheme, right, to benefit all of their rich buddies. And then here we are. We're not doing that. We're not talking about, you know, the Epsteins and people like this that have been corrupt assholes forever and you know, tax loopholes and the whole deal. We're not talking about those guys, right? Because they've paid their due. They've paid to the political campaigns to get away with this. We're talking about you and me who haven't paid our political campaign money or the bribe, as it were. All right. That's what we're talking about. So anyway, what do you guys think? Does anybody out there have Bitcoin? Are you concerned about this? Is this the beginning of the end for crypto as governments move to posture it out? Because of course, now look, this is the thing. Digital currency is number one. It's good, in my opinion, if it's decentralized, all right? If there's a blockchain of sorts, and I don't even know if blockchain is the best. They say it is, but I still am suspicious. But now here's the thing. If you talk about a digital currency that is decentralized, it's different than a digital currency that is issued by a government. Now, why is that? The reason why conspiracy theorists are very skeptical of digital currencies is because, issued by governments, is because it's the final step in a ubiquitous surveillance state. That's why. Because you can't do anything. You can't spend money without it going in, being logged in a database somewhere. All right. And if the government is issuing that money and actually facilitating the transfers from one party to another, there goes privacy entirely out the window. Entirely. Every single penny you spend, they will know exactly where you spent it, exactly what you spent it on. And here we are. So that's why a digital currency is a threat if it's decentralized. And so what the government's going to do now, again, here's the prediction. I don't know if it'll be this year or 5 years from now, but this is what's going to happen. They're going to issue their own digital currency because, of course, then they know every penny. They can account for every single digital dollar that's out there. And they can't do that right now with Bitcoin and blockchain. So it's a threat. You see, is anybody out there actually have some Bitcoin and you're worried about this, about governments cracking down because normal people aren't allowed to make money, right? I think that's the deal here, right? It's not, I'm not expecting easy money, right? Not like that, but I'm just saying the richest dudes get like the best tax rates, which makes no sense whatsoever. But of course it's a corrupt system and it's set up that way. And so you or me, if we do well in crypto, we have a problem, don't we? Or at least they're going to make it a problem. And that becomes a problem. So there you go. Anybody have crypto when you're worried about this? Yeah, I think you probably should be. Here's a quick word from our sponsor, which is you.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up to two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering. Us.
Okay, now, Rohan, there you go. Cryptocurrency ban, CBN ban in Nigeria. That's the one I was thinking of. And that just happened recently. So that's what I'm saying, is that this isn't allowed. A digital currency is fine if it's issued from the government in the government's perspective. If they have to spend a ton of resources trying to track down tax evaders, tax evasion, then it's a huge problem. And so they have to come after the huge problem. And that huge problem right now is crypto. And here we are. Like I said, I called it. I said Janet Yellen. I've been talking about this for a while now. And I hate to say I told you so, but in this case, I'm pretty sure. Whether it's this year, whether it's 5 years from now, we're going to get a digital currency, and they're going to crack down so hard on crypto. It's going to be, what would you call it? Not desirable. Not desirable. Elon Musk pumped $1.5 billion into crypto, into Bitcoin. Right. He did some in Dogecoin, I think, too. He pumped some money into that. And so it's a threat. It is a threat to an establishment. And they can't have it. The establishment moves to protect itself. I always say this. I'm going to continue to say this. And even more so, a corrupt establishment moves hard to protect itself because it can't allow this decentralized business of you and me just coming up in the world. It just can't do it. All right. So I got to this point, actually, before I didn't hit the start button last time. So here we go. Now we're kind of freeballing it now. We're in uncharted territory as we talk about sciencealert.com here. Now, this is a little bit strange. A cephalopod has passed a cognitive test designed for human children. Yeah, say that again. A cephalopod has passed a cognitive test designed for human children. All right, here we go. Cuttlefish have been put to a new version of the marshmallow test, and the results appear to demonstrate that there's more going on in their strange little brains than we know. Than we knew. Oh, who knew? Who knew? Right? We don't know all the things about all the things in the world. Who knew? Anyway, their ability to learn and adapt, the researcher said, could have evolved to give cuttlefish an edge in the cutthroat, eat or be eaten marine world they live in. The marshmallow test, or Stanford marshmallow experiment, is pretty straightforward. A child is placed in a room with a marshmallow. They are told if they can manage not to eat the marshmallow for 15 minutes, they'll get a second marshmallow and they'll be allowed to eat both. All right. So it's just if you don't eat it right away, you get two if you wait. Simple, right? As long as you get the concept, you come out
better on the other end. You get two marshmallows and then you get sticky fingers and you had a good time, right? It's all good. It's all good. Well, scuttlefish. This ability to delay gratification demonstrates cognitive abilities such as future planning, and it was originally conducted to study how human cognition develops. Specifically, at what age a human is smart enough to delay gratification if it means a better outcome later. All right. Because it's so simple, it can be adjusted for animals. Obviously, you can't tell an animal they'll get a better reward if they wait, but you can train them to understand that better food is coming if they don't eat the food in front of them straight away. All right. Last year, cuttlefish also passed a version of the marshmallow test. Scientists showed that common cuttlefish can refrain from eating a meal of crab meat in the morning once they have learned dinner will be something they like much better. Shrimp. As a team of researchers led by behavioral ecologist Alexandra Schell of the University of Cambridge point out in a new paper, however, in this case, it's difficult to determine whether this change in foraging behavior in response to prey available was also being governed by an ability to exert self-control. Weird. A cephalopod. Scuttlefish. Weird. Cognition. Are these things conscious? Are animals of all shape and size conscious? It begs the question. It starts to make you understand and realize that, you know, many people, like, this is knucklehead stuff, you know, many people that love animals, myself included, you see there's consciousness there in these things. There's the ability to love and to understand and realize that time passes. There's a lot of really, really obvious things if you just pay attention, right? But as we know, science is want to actually put this up as a definitive until they can prove it in some little test, in this case, the marshmallow test. Anyway, I think the headline is the best. A cephalopod has passed a cognitive test designed for human children. Weird, right? Weird. What's up, 40s? I see you there. Thanks for the gift subs. Thanks for resubbing up when we started. Thanks for all the enthusiasm for the show, and I appreciate that a lot. All right. So, what do you guys think about this? What do you think about the crypto and all the rest of this that we talked about? As always, you can be part of the show at any point, 702-957-1037. One more time, 702-957-1037. TroubledMinds.org is the official website. You can join the Discord. Come say hi. Lots of good conversation going on over there all the time, 24 hours a day. People all over the world, come say hi. Let's see. Dolly says, cephalopods are smart. They have blue blood and two brains and a heart, so they are probably alien animals. Yeah, we've talked about that in the past, the alien thing there. Quint67 says, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are an obvious pyramid scheme, value measured by late investors versus early investors. The late will be left holding the bag when they all crash. Yep. And like I said, the early investors in many cases are the mafia. How could that go wrong, right? How could that go wrong? Anyway, here we go. Let's go to futurism.com. Thanks for all the good chat, guys. Can't read it all. This is the short show. So if you have something to say, you know what to do. Give me a call at that phone number and we'll put you on the show. All right. Now check this out. Check this out. This is the internet. This is what the internet has become. This is from futurism.com. Contradicting rumors of his death, Elon Musk appears to be alive. Oh, all right. Well, unless dead people can still tweet. Reports of the SpaceX founder's death have been greatly exaggerated. Elon Musk took to Twitter Friday evening to let the world know he was still alive, contradicting efforts by trolls to convince the world otherwise. The tweet showcased his trademark level-headed thoughtfulness and sincerity, offering compelling insight into the world and the human condition at large. So what people do is they, and that was a joke, by the way, just kidding, it was an emoji followed by a lighthearted post about Dogecoin. There you go. So he had a little like rolling eye emoji because it was trending on Twitter that Elon is dead, right? Hashtag Elon is dead. And this is how stupid people are. And this happens from time to time. They'll put this out in there that somebody has died when they have not indeed died. And it's just a stupid meme thing that the internet does. And Elon rolled his eyes at it. And there we go. But he did tweet this right afterward. Doge spelled backwards is EGOD. E-G-O-D. Oh, boy. Anyway, you get it. Whatever. What kind of BS is this? You want to be part of the show, you know what to do. Give me a call at this phone number, 702
957-1037, and we're going to keep talking about the news that is the news. It is the conspiracy that is the news, but not before we take a quick break. And if you've never experienced a live break, well, you're in for a treat. You're listening to Conspiracy News. I'm Michael Strange. Hang tight. We will be right back. All right, welcome back to Conspiracy News with Michael Strange, the show where we talk about the news that is the conspiracy. All right, so let's continue, shall we? Elon Musk is alive. Elon's alive. All right, let's go to this. We go from Elon to Mark Zuckerberg, and this is a little bit strange. Ethereum to the moon. What's up, Dark Devious? Mark Zuckerberg says realistic avatars are Facebook's next big VR bet. Now, this is interesting, and I got a real-world example for you right after this. Facebook's future virtual reality headsets should capture users' facial expressions for more realistic digital avatars, says Mark, CEO Mark Zuckerberg. For instance, did anybody catch the Ash stream, the Ash the Reptilian from Mars live stream with Penny Bunny? Pretty good stuff, right? Speaking of capturing your facial movements and actually turning that into a an avatar, right? Like an actual alien avatar. Pretty good stuff, right? I was pretty impressed by the technology there. There's a pretty cool setup that Ash has done and got a custom alien and everything. And it's, the spoiler alert, he's not actually on Mars. But it was entertaining. And the alien kind of moves the face around as you move the face around, right? As you blink and, it'll do its thing. Yeah, move your mouth around, it'll follow, right? But this is their next big VR bet, Facebook, okay? So in a podcast interview for The Information, Zuckerberg expounded on the next decade in virtual and augmented reality, including future Oculus VR devices. Quote, one of the things that I'm really excited about for the future versions is getting eye tracking and face tracking in, because if you're really excited about social presence, you want to make sure that the device has all the sensors to really kind of animate realistic avatars so you can communicate well like that, Zuckerberg says. Yeah, exactly. This dude, his middle name needs to be Dystopia, because he's not going to be satisfied until we become the Matrix and we're all hooked up to some kind of battery that runs the big thing called Facebook. Anyway, so that's what's going on with this, right? So VR, virtual, like facial movements. And we talked about this not too long ago on this show, where we have, you create an avatar of yourself and you can type something in and that we will go and do a show like this, right? You can have, you scan all your face and stuff and get your voice all set up, and then you just type like a little paragraph and hit go, and it'll put up a video just like this of your face talking and, hand gestures and the whole deal. And you can become a virtual presence, a virtual version of yourself. All right. So anyway, now here's a good example of this, of how VR is going to change the way we live. And for instance, everybody knows that listens, I'm a big baseball fan, and I'm an A's fan specifically. Now, this is interesting because of this. Here's one from MLB.com. And Olsen and Chappie go back-to-back. That's home runs. They hit two home runs in a row thanks to VR. All right, let's look at this real quick. And I think I can maybe play this without getting in trouble here. Let's play this. All right. No, we don't need to see home runs. This is not the sports station. Anyway, check this out. Now, interestingly enough, they hit back-to-back home runs, and here's the thing. Let's see. Where does it say here? Let's see. Okay. Following a trend that has been growing around baseball in recent years, the two sluggers were utilizing virtual reality headsets before the game to help simulate the experience of facing the particular pitcher. His name is Adam Plutko. About 30 minutes later, Chapman and Olsen took Plutko deep on the first pitch they saw from the right-hander. The A's have recently adopted the tool, which is manufactured by WIN Reality VR. In addition to simulating at-bats against opposing pitchers, it can also provide info on a specific pitcher's velocity, pitch movement, and release point. So interestingly, you can put on the virtual reality headset, grab a bat, and actually face this pitcher in real time, and
as many people know, if you're baseball fans, the release point of a particular pitch or whatever, and the deception of the pitcher is part of the game. And so if you can actually just act like you've been there before, kind of like we've said in some previous shows, if you pull up Google Maps and look at a place you've never been, you can follow the streets, you know, and kind of in your brain just go through the map of how to get there. And then when you actually drive there for the first time, it will be as if you've been there before. Now, this is the same sort of thing, except it's in a fast twitch type of sporting situation. Okay. So again, right, back to my meme of you could use that for torture or let's say warfare. You could have these VR situations set up where you have like a team of SEALs or special operations types go actually move in, kick in a particular door into a house they've never been in, but that house has been modeled in 3D, and so they can practice over and over and over and over. And so when they come in, they are surgical and dangerous. Anyway, there's your VR future. If I could squeak in some A's news, why the hell not? Why the hell not? Still looking to hear from you guys. If you want to be part of the show, 702-957-1037, troubledminds.org is the official website. Click the Discord link. Come join us. Lots of smart people on Discord having sharing good links and having good conversations all the time. All right, let's go to this. This is from oilprice.com. And this is the best. You want to trigger Michael Strange, you talk about taxes, healthcare, and carbon credits. Carbon credits. All right. Launching the world's largest carbon credit system. And this is fantastic. Late last year, a shockingly ambitious pledge, Chinese President Xi Jinping announced that his country would reach peak domestic greenhouse gas emissions by the end of the decade, and that China would bring its carbon footprint all the way down to net zero by just 2060. Isn't that interesting to note? China says they will have a net zero carbon footprint by 2060. Anybody believe that? Just curious. The targets are as timely as they are ambitious. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the world's premier authority on the issue. Weird. We have just a decade left to change our emissions outputs drastically enough to avoid the worst effects of climate change. See? Tick-tock, just a decade left. So it's great news for all of us that China, the world's biggest greenhouse gas emitter by a considerable margin, is getting serious about curbing their carbon footprint. However, there remains a considerable gap. A chasm between Beijing's lofty climate-friendly rhetoric and the country's actual and projected emissions, both of which are hefty, to say the least. Anyway, if you want to read some more of this, they're basically saying, yeah, China's probably lying. They're probably fibbing about this. It's probably just marketing PR to say we're doing our best, because the rest of the world and their little Paris Climate Accord, right, where they're spreading money all over the world without accountability and saying it's in the name of carbon credits and climate change. Well, now China just gets to say, well, we're working on it too, guys. We're working really hard on this. And of course, right as we approach 2060 and they don't come anywhere close, they can be like, well, our estimates were off, so we really meant 2080, right? And they just get to kick the can down the road and do whatever the hell they want. So anyway, just, you know, to point this out. Here's another one. In the same vein, the New York Post. And of course, you know, as we have the perfect, you can't have a conversation about anything without racializing it and turning it into a, every bit of a division we can. So let's just start here. The New York Post headline is this: elites see my black baby daughter as nothing more than a carbon emitter. Weird. Huh. Weird. Isn't that what I've been saying? Yeah, except not just about black babies, about everybody. Damn it. If you're not part of the elite club, it's a big club and we ain't in it. If you're not part of that club, then you are just a useless eater. And in this case, it's another way to hate you. It's another way to put laws on you that control everything you do. Right. Digital currencies. Right. Huge tax schemes that favor people that aren't you. And now we have a elites seeing my black baby daughter as nothing more than a carbon emitter, and all the rest of us. Let's just read a little bit of this. So anyway, an hour after my daughter was born, there was a problem here. There was a, you know, his wife and his daughter were in dire straits, and they both pulled through, and it was a happy thing, right? So here we go. He says, let's see. A year later, I've had the privilege of telling my classmates about the joys and of marriage and parenthood, but not everyone has been receptive. One student told me it might be unethical to have children in today's America. Yeah, unethical to have children. Right? This view is distressingly common among our elites. Many climate activists, including AOC, fret that children increase our carbon emissions over their lifetime, hastening an ecological crisis. Apparently, human life loses intrinsic value in a crisis. Well, there is another crisis plaguing our country. At 1.7 births per woman, the U.S. fertility rate is at its lowest level in modern American history. Research shows that we haven't experienced replacement rate fertility since 2008. In other words, 13 years have passed since we last produced enough children to even maintain current population levels. Anyway, this is exactly my beef with all of this stuff. Elites see all of us as just a carbon emitter, as a useless eater, as people that do not deserve the resources we are consuming. And so, of course, when conspiracy theorists talk about a depopulation agenda, well, depopulation doesn't always necessarily mean genocide, does it? It means lowering the birth rate by telling people that if you have children in this day and age, it's unethical. And we have youngsters. We have people in college being taught this. And I don't know. Which is worse? I'll let you figure it out. Smart folks out there. I don't even have to say it. You already know what I'm about to say. I've said it before. I'm not going to say it this time. What the hell is going on? All right. Anyway, let's continue, shall we? Let's continue, shall we? All right. Here we go. Let's go to this one. Let's go to this one. This is tomsguide.com. Google Pixels, which is a particular type of smartphone, by the way. For those that don't know, Google Pixels will start reading your heart rate and breathing today. Neat. Here's how it works. Pixels will measure heart rate and breathing via the cameras right in the Google Fit app. Pretty soon, you won't need a smartwatch to measure your heart rate or breathing. Google announced last month that an upgrade was coming to Pixel phones that would allow users to measure their respiration and heart rate via the cameras. Now Google says the feature will roll out to supported Pixels starting today via an update in the Google Fit app. We already knew this would be a timed exclusive to Pixel phones, with the feature arriving on other Android devices at an undefined date. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. All right. How could this go wrong? How could this go wrong? Yeah. Your heart rate. And your respiration rate. Your telephone. Keeping track of it. Interesting, right? Yeah. Here we are. So this is going to be a new feature, right? It's weird when we have spyware becoming more and more ubiquitous and people like embracing it. People are like, yay, we have new features. And it's just more and more intrusive. More and more intrusive. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's one thing, like, again, I don't hate technology. I love technology. I just think that kind of encroaching in every aspect of everybody's personal lives and then sharing that data with big tech, there's something broken there. There's a problem there. There's something very, very broken. Yeah. Anyway, let us continue, shall we? There's more here. This is from Hackaday.com. And just cruising, doing our thing, talking the conspiracy news. If you want to be part of the show, you can dial us up at this number, 702-957-1037. One more time, 702-957-1037. Also, that number is persistent, by the way. So if you happen to listen to this on an archive tomorrow or something, and you have a thought on what we talked about, go ahead and call the number. Leave a message, and we'll play it on the show in the future. So there we go. Let's continue with this. This is from Hackaday.com. A scientist made an artificial black hole in the lab, and you won't believe what happened next. There's a headline for you. Boom. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. The article above was eventually edited to better reflect the truth that as we have not yet found a way to create objects so massive that even light cannot escape them. Instead, physicist Jeff Steinhauer and colleagues at the Technion Israel Institute of Technology has developed an acoustic model of black holes, which was used to observe the equivalent of Hawking radiation for the first time. Hawking radiation is the theoretical exception to the rule that nothing makes it out of a black hole and would imply that black holes evaporate over time. The prediction predicted radiation would be orders of magnitude weaker than the background radiation, though, making it all but impossible to detect. So basically, they're full of shit. And nobody actually made a black hole in the lab. It was a simulation, and it was an acoustic black hole, which is sound. Come on. But this is the clickbait stuff we're talking about. There was no actual black hole created in any kind of lab. Come on now. Like this is the CERN type stuff that we've talked about in the past. But this is just a clickbait BS headline. It says it right there on the top. Right in the top of the article right here, it says this. Okay, that was a little clickbaity. But then again, so was the announcement this week that a scientist had confirmed Hawking radiation with a lab-grown black hole. Yeah. Lies, lies, lies. It's an experiment, a simulation, and it is not a black hole whatsoever. Let us continue, shall we? Here's another one. For the first time, and this is pretty cool, talking about the things that we like to talk about, the life, alien life. Check this out from ScienceAlert.com. For the first time, organic matter, crucial for life, has been found on an asteroid's surface. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's see. Follow the twisted limbs of your family tree all the way back to its primordial origins billions of years ago, and you'll find that we all originated from dust rich in organic chemistry. Just where this dust came from has been the topic of debate for more than half a century. Now, researchers have found the first evidence of organic materials essential to life on Earth on the surface of an S-type asteroid. Yeah, an S-type asteroid. Yeah, an international team of researchers recently conducted an in-depth analysis of one of the particles brought back from the asteroid Itokawa by the Japanese Space Agency's original Hayabusa mission back in 2010, which is pretty cool because we've been following this and, I file this under how could this go wrong? Because, of course, who knows what else is on that asteroid? And we saw what happened when that virus got out of the lab in China. I mean, well, you know what I'm saying? Maybe if it gets out of the lab in Japan and it's the black goo for the black oil from X-Files, we got a different problem entirely. I all in jest, of course. I don't really mean any of those things I said, but you get it. You get what I'm saying here. Anyway, most of Earth's meteorites come from S-type asteroids like Itokawa. So knowing that it could have contained essential ingredients for life on our planet is a significant step forward in our understanding of how life-forming conditions could arise. Up until now, most research on organic material has focused on carbon-rich C-class asteroids, but this is an S-type, so different type. Looking into the sample, the team found that organic material that came from the asteroid itself has evolved over time through extreme conditions, incorporating water and organic matter from other sources. Now, this is similar to the process of what happened on Earth and helps us better understand how the earliest forms of terrestrial biochemistry might simply be an extension of the chemistry taking place inside many asteroids, which of course means life is everywhere. Panspermia, we've talked about that quite a bit in the past. It just means the building blocks for life are on every rock out there. And as they ping pong around the galaxy and the solar system, they're just bringing life to planets that don't have it, which suggests entirely there's life probably everywhere. Probably everywhere. At least microbial life and possibly more. All those little critters run around on Mars and stuff. We'll try and get Ash to confirm or deny that. But here we go. Let's continue, shall we? Now, here's another example in the news cycle and how it flip-flops and how you get one lie after another. And they expect us to believe this stuff because it's clickbait BS. All right. Very much like some stuff we talked about earlier. But check this out. This is from Electrek.co. ELECTREK. Fisker gives up on solid-state batteries after announcing breakthrough with 500 miles range and one-minute charging, all right? So they announced, this Fisker company announced not too long ago that they had a breakthrough with a 500-mile range and a one-minute charge.
right? Doesn't that sound too good to be true? It certainly sounds too good to be true, right? To be like, damn, you can't even do that with a cell phone these days, right? Like, just think. You can't even do that with a damn cell phone. But we're expected to believe that this was the case, right? And all the marketing hype and all the BS that people say, all right, check this out. Of course, it wasn't true. There was a report called A Look at Fisker's Unbelievable Claims About Its Upcoming All-Electric Car with Over 400 Miles of Range and 9-Minute Charging, all right? And of course, well, now they're dropping it because it's fake. It's fake. The idea didn't stick for long, and Fisker instead announced a solid-state battery breakthrough for electric cars with the 500-mile range and 1-minute charging. As with most battery breakthrough claims, we were skeptical of Fisker's announcement. Now, a few years later, Henrik Fisker announced that they had actually given up on the supposed breakthrough over a year ago. And, of course, because it's not true at all. And listen to this. This is a little bit nuts. In the quote, it says, here we go. So we spent a lot of time, several years, doing research in solid-state batteries. And it's kind of a technology where you feel like you're 90% there. You're almost there until you realize the last 10% is much more difficult than the first 90. Oh, congratulations. But that didn't keep you from putting out a bogus press release, did it, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So now they're getting out of the solid-state battery business because he's saying the technology is just not there and the breakthrough is not what we thought. All right. Now, with that said, let's go to Yahoo, news.yahoo.com. And this is from today. Israeli 5-minute battery charge aims to fire up electrical cars. Okay, well, all right. It's like we fall for the same stuff over and over again. This is from today. From flat battery to full charge in just 5 minutes, an Israeli startup has developed technology it says could eliminate the range anxiety associated with electric cars. Ultra-fast recharge specialists StoreDot have developed a first-generation lithium-ion battery that can rival the filling time of a standard car at the pump. Quote, "We are changing the entire experience of the driver, the problem of range anxiety, that you might get stuck on a highway without energy," StoreDot founder Doron Meyersdorf said. The announcement could eliminate the hours required to recharge an electric car, he said. Hundreds of prototypes are being tested by manufacturers, blah, 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 again, right? So we had this one where they're like, yeah, breakthrough. This is going to be 1 minute charge, 500 miles. Yeah. Like I said, we don't even have a cell phone that can do that. Get out of here, people. And then we have this. Now they're saying it again. Different company, same story. I'm going to ask you. Do you think this is true? Do you think this is true? I'm going to say probably not. I'm going to say some sort of clickbait marketing PR stunt BS. No. When we get a cell phone that you could plug in and instantly charge the damn thing in 1 minute from zero, I'll start to believe this crap. But come on. Come on. All right. Just saying. All right. Now the big news of the week. Let's go to the big news of the week. Big news of the week. Yeah, that's right. Meghan Markle. CNN.com reports. British royal family plunged into crisis after Harry and Meghan allege racism and neglect in Oprah interview. Da, da, da. Did anybody see this stuff? Anybody follow this? It's hard to because or it's hard not to because if you're on Twitter, this was trending on Twitter and all the rest of this garbage. But it turns out, wouldn't you know it, the British royal family was bullying, maybe is still bullying Meghan Markle. Yes. Anyway, so she alleged that the royal family was concerned about the skin color of her potential child, if she were to have one. And so, clearly, well, you know, meaning how would it look if in the royal family there was a brown baby? And let's go back to that article real quick about the elites see my black baby daughter as nothing more than a carbon emitter or a useless eater. And, right, we try and racialize everything, which they see us all as useless eaters, all as carbon emitters, all as methane expulsion automatons. It's just Yes. So Meghan Markle was so bullied, apparently, she had to actually, or she wanted to seek therapy. All right. And she says that the royal family would not allow her to because of the optics. What would it look like if Meghan Markle showed weakness or had a baby with darker skin? Jeez. All right. This is just goofy stuff. And again, right. So, you know, the memes were great. You know, the Oprah billionaire interviewing the millionaires with their free cottage, their free huge cottage, about how bullied they've been, you know, in this type of thing. Yeah, and, you know, everybody's supposed to fawn over Meghan Markle and feel really bad for them. Spare me. What a bunch of garbage. Isn't it time that we stopped having a king and queen at all, by the way? Just stupid. Anyway, a few minutes left in the show. We got time for you. 702-957-1037. What do you think about this stuff? Troubleminds.org. Join the Discord. Dear Lord, Oprah. And, right. This is exactly the type of stuff that, you know, can wash out a whole news cycle, right? Yeah, wash out a whole news cycle with something like this. And interesting. Here we are looking at it. All right, one more news article, and then we'll finish this up. Meghan Markle. Okay, sapiens.org. Did a magnetic field reversal doom Neanderthals? Interesting. This is from March 4th, 2021. And let's see. This individual named Anna Goldfield wrote this article, and she had a question. I had questions in mind that I was too embarrassed to ask out loud. Would I notice if it happened? Would we all die? Would the fridge magnets still work? Talking about the Earth's magnetic fields as they flopped, as they reversed. What would happen? Would we actually know? All right. And so here we go. So I suspect many people are similarly surprised and full of questions, which is probably why news stories about magnetic field reversals do so well. So 2 weeks ago, a paper was published in the journal Science claiming that a magnetic field reversal may have had something to do with the demise of Neanderthals. A quick Google search of the terms magnetic field and Neanderthals turns up multiple pages of dramatically titled hits from news outlets, including this gem from the U.S. Sun. Ah, the Sun. Magnetic madness. Magnetic catastrophe that wiped out Neanderthals is due to happen again, scientists warn. Da-da-da. Quint 67. If they ever pass a methane tax, I'll have to file bankruptcy. There you go. You guys are funny. Okay. So anyway, interesting. So there's, you know, a paper was done. This is a good paper in my opinion. These are the types of things that need to be talked about. The Earth would have experienced some particularly punishing levels of cosmic radiation and increased temperatures. All right. So the real global warming is the pole reversal that they say is happening, or right as we can track that ourselves by just watching how the pole seems to wander quite a lot. It is now moved from, I believe, from Canada into Russia. Is that right? It's something like that, right? So the pole is moving. And if this thing flips, we are screwed. Talk about an EMP on a worldwide level. Yeah, think about that. That would be Stone Age shit all over again. All the technology we think we have, well, snap your fingers, gone. And yeah, anyway, interesting stuff. I think this is worth talking about, worth thinking about, and it's why we do it on this show. And yeah, the sun. Penny Bunny tells me that in the United Kingdom, they laugh at the sun. If you bring up the sun as a source, they'll laugh you off the block. Well, that's why I laugh as well. Anyway. We're done. We're finished with this. What the heck is going on? This is episode 49 of Conspiracy News. Sorry about yesterday. I canceled it because I knew Penny Bunny was going to have Ash on, and I didn't want to compete with him directly. I thought it was more cool to maybe cancel it and send you guys over there. I had a good time watching Ash on there doing the alien thing, and it was a pretty good show, in my opinion. So there you go. That's why I canceled it. There was no real good reason except for that. I just didn't want to compete with him directly when it was so entertaining. Friends of the show.
I hope you guys had a good time over there watching the alien conversation and some of the jokes that were made. But that's what happened. That's what's going on. And so what we're going to do is instead of yesterday, we were going to do episode 49. That was today instead. So we're going to bump episode 50 to Friday. So we're going to do Friday at 3 p.m. We'll do the final episode of season one for Conspiracy News with Michael Strange. Then we're going to take a few weeks off, 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not exactly sure. Just some time to give me a breather. Let me catch up. It's been kind of slow getting to episode 50 just because there's so much work to do. So that's what we'll do. So we'll do episode 50 on Friday. It will be the end of season one. We're going to continue doing Troubled Minds Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on The Fringe. And also this week, that will be part of The Fringe Late Night, and that will be on terrestrial radio in Arkansas. So that's starting this week as well. So lots of exciting things happening. Just need some time to do some other things. It's a lot of work to do all this. I know it's fun. I know it's the content is great. I play back some of it, and I surprise myself sometimes. It's almost like automatic writing, right? Like it's like almost automatic talking for me now. It's just you start the microphone, and you just talk, and then, you know, sometimes it turns out all right. It's just how it is, you know. But you know, sometimes you lay a stinker too. But just FYI, I am aware of my stinkers, the methane tax, as it were. Okay, so that's what's going to happen. We'll take a couple 3 weeks off. I'm not exactly sure how much time after episode 50, but episode 50, the end of season one for Conspiracy News, will be on Friday. Take a few weeks off, and then we'll go right back into it with season two and just burn the candle at both ends and try and make it happen. Again, thank you all for being enthusiastic about all the stuff we do on this show, the other show, Troubled Minds. Spread the word. That's, if you want to help the show, that's the biggest thing you can do, is just spread the word. Tell somebody that there's a conversation happening out there that is not managed by the mainstream, and they may be surprised at some of the things that are reality, actual, more like real reality, instead of the PR garbage they try and feed us on a daily basis. So please spread the word. Thank you again so much for all the enthusiasm in the chat and people showing up for the shows. It means a lot. And that's what's up. That's what's up. But okay, so that's what's up. So we will have a few weeks off from this show after Friday, but we're still Troubled Minds will truck on. So you just have a few less shows per week. So meet us over there. Again, we'll have the phone line doing our thing as we always do. If you want to be part of the show at any point, just give us a call, do the thing. We'll see you then. So tomorrow night, Tuesday, we'll have Troubled Minds, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday, we'll have 3 p.m. We'll have this show at episode 50 as we end season one. Then we'll get into season two shortly thereafter, a couple, 3 weeks after we take a break. So that's the plan. That's what's going on. Thanks for being flexible and understanding. As like I said, there's a lot to do. It's a lot of work, guys. So it just sometimes you got to catch up and do some other things. So that's what's up. That's the plan. That's what's going on. And let's say thank you to the folks who have subbed up to this channel. And we're if you want to help, spread the word. If you want to help some more, sub up to the channel. You can do that on the podcast directly. Just click the podcast link on the Conspiracy News Podcast. There's a donate thing there. If you want to help, you can also sub up to this channel. You can do it with Prime for free, no additional cost. Sends me $2.49 per month, and that helps. It helps pay the bills, the phone line costs, podcast hosting costs, all kinds of things cost money, and so it does help me a lot, and I appreciate that. Still in the red with this show. One day, if we get in the black, it'll be amazing. And like I said, I can have normal hobbies again from time to time. But here we go. Thank you to the folks who have subbed up to the channel. Here is a updated Star Wars crawl that I kept saying I was going to do. Well, we've done it. And here's the individuals who have subbed up to the channel. And let's do it. Let's finish this up. We are done for the day. All right. Here's the Star Wars crawl. Thanks, guys. The folks that I didn't add are now added. Updated. Special thanks to Dwayne Dibley, Monochrome, and Noble Kal-El for boosting the Discord server. Special thanks to Monochrome and Arc Platinum, Mr. Arc, for sending gift subs on Twitch. Thank you to AJ Dare, Alien Nichan, Arc Platinum, Axel Steel 3, Dark Devious, FGC Spiral, Guerdo 75, Ident, Lizzie Dags, Monochromatic, Nikki Nix, Noble Kal-El, Often Frozen, Penny Bunny, Quint 67, Super Vike 1, Satan Claus,
and Tam Bam. Thanks for subbing up to the show, guys. Thanks for all the enthusiasm. We'll talk to you tomorrow night at Troubled Minds. No idea what's on deck. If anybody has show ideas you want to talk about or hear about, join the Discord. Come say, hey, Mike, let's do a show about this. I think we got to do pole reversal at some point. We'll get to that. Lots of things to get to, and very, very good. Very, very good. Lots of things to talk about. They just keep coming. See? You hit go, and I just talk, and I just never stop. I'm like the Energizer Bunny. You guys are the best. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow night. Troubled Minds, 7 p.m. Pacific. Don't miss it. We'll see you there.